Epiphany, January the 6th is an old date, and when it appears on January 6th, it's known as too as the 12th day of Christmas, you know the famous song. Liturgically, the Christmas season, beginning on Christmas Eve, unfolds in three phases. Take a look at it briefly. Today, Epiphany is the second phase. The first phase was Christmas Day itself, where the shepherds are the focal point of that story. They symbolize, basically, that Jesus came for his own people, the Jews, primarily. The Magi are the central figure in the second phase of our Christmas season. These were visitors from the east, perhaps from Persia. They were perhaps, we're not sure, astrologers. And they represent on this feast day the Gentiles, that is, the non-Jews. The Savior is not restricted to any given group. Everybody can get in. That's the meaning, primarily, of the Epiphany of the Lord. You want to see a beautiful sculpture about the Epiphany. Maybe you've seen it over at Gethsemane, the Trappist Monastery. There's a beautiful sculpture of the Epiphany, of the manifestation. It shows the Blessed Mother facing us, as you look at it, facing you. And she's holding the boy Jesus, and he's facing you too. And she's a beautiful, it shows that she's so proud of this little boy that she's brought into the world. And it's just an outstanding sculpture. Make sure it's near the monk's cemetery there at Gethsemane. So it's a manifestation, means a showing. She wanted to show everybody this beautiful child, as any good mother would in our own day. Anyway, the third phase of the Christmas season we'll celebrate next Sunday, which is the feast of the baptism of the Lord at the Jordan River, when Jesus, as a 30-year-old adult, comes to the Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. And at this instant, he will be manifested again, but as an adult and with the stamp and approval of the Father. Remember, as the dove comes upon him, the Father says from the clouds, "This is my beloved Son." So we have the threefold manifestation to the Jews, to the Gentiles, and to the whole world at the River Jordan. The first manifestation to the shepherds, the most unlikely we could ever imagine. Why in the world would the Son of God coming into this world be manifested first to the shepherds? They were poor. They were not respected very much. They were considered to be at the lower rungs of society. So the shepherds must have been awfully surprised too. What stories they must have told as they reflected on this meeting of the Son of God becoming flesh. Maybe the stories would go something like this. We were out on our regular night watch, and all of a sudden, this angel appeared in the sky. And the glory of the Lord shone all around this angel, and we were scared to death. Then, all of a sudden, the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I've got some good news for you all. Not only for you all, but for everybody. And this good news will bring great joy to all in the world. Today, a Savior has been born who is Messiah and Lord. And you'll find him in a manger," the angel told the shepherds. And they thought, the Savior of the world in a manger? So it says we went over there. They're telling the story. We went over there. And lo and behold, when we got there, there they were, the couple and this little child. Then we went and told everybody we could find it. We told everybody we could find it. And they just couldn't believe that this Son of God, this bearer of great joy, could be told, first of all, to shepherds. They just couldn't believe it. And we're proud of it, though. So that must have been the shepherd's story after that. What a story they had. The last person on earth you'd think the Savior would appear here they are. Magi had quite a good story, too, to tell when they got home from the east. They probably said, we've been on a 600-800-mile trip. You wouldn't believe what we've seen. We're following a star. After all, we are astrologers. And we were in search of something greater than ourselves. We weren't even sure what it was. A deeper understanding of our life. And we'd learned about this newborn king, Jewish king. So we, of course, followed the star to Jerusalem. He's going to be a Jewish king. He's going to be born in Jerusalem. And that's where we would expect him to be born. But when we got there, King Herod was greatly upset about this newborn king. King Herod wasn't a devout Jew. So he asked his advisors about this Christ. Where is he? And they thought, in Bethlehem. That's what the prophet said. So we set out for Bethlehem, following the star, and all of a sudden the star stopped over the place where this child was, along with his parents. We could tell that he was someone special. So we left gifts, fit for a king, of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and we knelt down and paid him homage. We have a feeling that he is just what we need. So like the shepherds and the magi, who had their beautiful stories to tell after their experience. You know what? I mentioned on New Year's Day that we all have a story to tell. Every one of us. Good news is that every story is unique. There's nobody in this world that has the same story you have. It's incredible. So we have to learn how to tell it some way. We could include, if we're telling our story, whether in writing or in one-on-one or in a group, whatever. We might start with our earliest memories, a little tiny child, as far back as we can remember. We might try to remember how we first came into contact with God at the different stages of our life, too. What was our image and picture of God in those early years? Was I able to discover God in God's creation? All the beauties of nature and the mountains and the forests and the streams? Could I discover God there? Could I discover God in some specific persons that I knew? I mentioned on New Year's that this could be a resolution we could take for this year. It'd be fun, wouldn't it? To tell or to write your story a little bit each day or a little bit each week. Could be about the joys and the hope, your joys and your hopes, your griefs and your anguish. That's what Second Vatican Council told us in its most famous document called Gaudium et Spes. That's the opening words of that famous document on the constitution of the church in the modern world. The joy and the hope and the grief and the anguish of the people of this age is the joy and the hope and the grief and the anguish of all the church, all of those who follow in Jesus' footsteps. So you could tell, you have a beautiful story. Who influenced you? Who did you admire? Who was your model, so to speak? You could tell this to someone you trust, of course, your story. It could be like a little autobiography. You don't have to show it to everybody. It doesn't have to be fancy. Most of us can't do fancy stuff when it comes to that. So take the risk to pour out your heart and your fears and your dreams. Be fun. Would you consider making that, even though it's 5 days now since we began, a New Year's resolution? In other words, just don't let the Magi and the shepherds have their story. Everybody's got one. And you've got an exciting story to tell. Beautiful. And God's always walking with you as you go through that story. So let's give that a little thought on this solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord.